Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish will be taking us through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, in a study entitled Holiness and Worship. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua, chapter 3. And we'll be looking at the first four verses of the third chapter here, and I do believe the Lord has given me something to say to us as a congregation that He's wanting to work within our hearts. I'll be focusing on the subject of holiness and worship, and that holiness reflects the nature and character of God, that He is holy. And let's read through the first four verses. It says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they sent out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And so here as we are looking at Joshua, he's ready to cross over the Jordan. God's about to do a miracle, but the Ark of the Covenant is to go ahead before all the people, and yet they're to remain a distance behind the Ark of the Covenant. And that's because that Ark of the Covenant symbolically represented that place that God was going to dwell or make His name known or make His glory dwell. And man wasn't able to approach that. There needed to be a distance because God is a holy God. God is a God of glory. God is a God of all power and might. And we don't just, you know, treat the presence of God haphazardly or on our own terms. And so this distancing, there must be something to that that would want to be communicated to our hearts today. As I've been preparing for this study here in Joshua chapter 3, the things that has captivated my heart that we will focus on from verse 4, just the fact that God is a holy God, and then in relating that to worship, our worship needs to reflect that. And I do believe that there's something lacking, that something that has been lost in the life of the body of Christ in many churches in reference to the fact that God is holy and we're to worship Him and we should fear before the Lord. We should be in fear, in awe of this holy God. Because I think so much of worship, unfortunately, that's crept into people's hearts is I'll just worship God on my own terms, what I feel comfortable with and the way that I want. And they totally disregard the holiness of God and He's the one that sets the terms. And I want to address that this morning, and I have a deep sense of burden in my heart to communicate what I want to this morning, and my prayer is that God would bear fruit in us as a congregation. And the way I'd like to do that is by just first surveying through the first four verses, rather briefly, this portion here in the book of Joshua, which we read, and then going on to other passages of Scripture, which reflect God's holiness and the improper ways to approach God and the proper ways to approach this holy God. And that something would be imparted into our hearts of the nature of God that our worship would reflect the God that we are worshiping. And again, I pray that you would listen, you would have ears to hear. It's not something that I just have this desire to teach, but it's something that's captivated my heart that needs to be sown into all of us as a congregation. So let's start by just surveying this portion that we read. And the setting is Joshua is about to go over the Jordan River, which is impassable at this time because it's at the flood stage, but God's about to do a miracle to help this nation walk across on dry lands. Verse 1 says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over." Now, what we're going to find out as you read through the chapter is that God speaks to Joshua and says, "Here's my plan. What I want you to do is I want the priests to go out a distance in front of everybody, and they're going to walk into the Jordan, and as soon as their feet touch the water, the Jordan's going to part, and then all of us as a nation could cross over." And so Joshua gets this instruction from the Lord, and I like what it says in the first part of verse 1. He arose early in the morning. That means he got right on it, didn't waver, didn't wrestle in unbelief, but just said, "Hey, this is what God's doing. Let's start making preparations for that." And actually, it's going to take some time because there was about 2.5 million people assembled there to get them organized to move all in the same direction. I know for myself, I have four children, and it takes about 3 days just to start getting it to go in the same direction. So here's 2.5 million people. It's going to take some time. But Joshua gets up early, and he's ready to do the will of God. No hesitation. You got to remember, his name and reputation is going to be on the line, because he's going to announce here in this chapter, the priests are going to go out, and as soon as their feet touch the water, that's when the Jordan's going to part. Now, you know all eyes are going to be watching, and it's like, wow, what's going to happen? Is Joshua right? Is he really heard from the Lord? And Joshua looked like a fool if those priests were standing out in the water, and that water did not part. Then his reputation would have sunk, but he doesn't seem to be concerned about it. He wants to get up early. Let's get on it. This is the Lord's doing. Let's get about our Father's business. Verse 2. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it." Again, there was that distance that was going to be there that we'll get to it. Verse 4. But the Ark of the Covenant was basically a wood box overlaid with gold in places, and then on the top of it was called the mercy seat, and that was made out of gold, and these two angels were on it, and their wings covered, and they touched together over the mercy seat. Then inside this box was Aaron's rod that budded, a pot of manna, and a copy of the Ten Commandments of God. And the priests were not to touch that box, because God said, that's where I'll make my name dwell. My presence will be there. I'll manifest my glory there in the midst of that mercy seat. So God instructed the priests, no one was to touch it. And it was there were these little rings on the outside, and poles would go through it. Then the priests would carry it. They'd bear it upon their shoulders. So you didn't just come and touch that ark, not because of Indiana Jones and that whole situation, but because this was truly the presence of the Lord, and God's presence was to be dealt with on God's terms, not on man's. You weren't to climb on it, you weren't to get close to it, only the priests were to carry it, and they were to carry it on poles. God set that in His Word, and that obviously is reflecting something of the nature and character of God. Now, when they weren't moving and they camped out, God had a very prescribed manner for all the tribes to camp out. The Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle was in the very center of all the tribes. And then what they did is they had four sections, northeast, west, and south, around the tabernacle, around the Ark of the Covenant, and there were three tribes on each section, three to the north, three to the south, three to the east, and three to the west. And it was a very organized way to march through this nation. But right in the very center was the Ark of the Covenant, representing God's at the very center of that nation, the very center of worship, the very center of their life. But this time he says, let the ark go out, let the priests bear it, and you guys stay back a distance, and then you follow the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure, which is 3,000 feet or 1,000 yards or well over a half a mile. So that's quite a distance, isn't it? Say a half mile back. And there's reasons for it. There's practical reasons for it in the text, but there's also spiritual reasons that we would uncover from the entire Bible. Practically, he says, this is why. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. So you're coming into new territories, and God's going to work a miracle. You've never seen the Jordan parts, and God's going to lead you, so let Him lead. Let Him show you the way that you're to go. Don't try and take the lead. Don't try and say, God, let's go over this way. Here's the best route. Let God map it out. He has a strategy, has a plan for blessing. He's going to work a miracle, and you follow His power and His might. And you stand back and watch. And the half mile distance, or plus half mile plus, was somewhat so that everyone could see the glory of God work in the situation, but it was also to keep man's distance from the presence of God as well, as he's going to manifest himself there. Now, it's interesting. I was thinking about our own congregation this week, and we have an incredible opportunity with this property, but yet it hasn't happened yet. And I thought I was going to be able to make an announcement last Wednesday night at church. It's a done deal. Didn't happen. Thursday, I thought, oh, for sure it's going to take place. It didn't happen. Then Friday was the pressure day. At least I was feeling a sense of pressure. But they said, no, there's no time beyond Friday. It's got to be done. We got to move forward. If it's not Friday, then basically it sounded like we're going to have to reconsider the whole situation. Or on their end, didn't happen on Friday. Now I'm here and say, well, it hasn't happened yet, but we're right at the edge there. Now, why is God doing that? I think he's going to say, stand back, just watch me do the work. I don't need your help. You've never been this way before. I'm the leader. I'm the provider. It's my power, my grace, my mercy. And now all these people are praying and we're going, oh God, intervene. And he's going to come through, not at the last minute, but in the time that he wanted to all the time. And so that all of our eyes are fixed upon the situation, or we're going to rejoice. This is the presence of the Lord. This is God manifesting his glory. He's done it all. It's his work, his power, and his might. And we celebrate the work that God's accomplished. And we get to watch from afar because God's telling us, I don't need your help. And he's telling me, I don't need you to worry about it, because worrying has not advanced us any quicker. What we need to do is pray, sit back, and watch God manifest his glory. And we're all witnesses of it, that this is the Lord's doing. Because we've never been this way before, have we? We've never been down this route. Has anyone been here where someone has given you $5 million and you bought property for a church in the city of Lomas? Anyone been that way before? So we don't have a pattern to go by, right? Amen? So we need to let God lead us. And I think he's also saying to the nation, I'm bringing you into the land. I don't need your help. I have a plan to defeat each city. I have a plan to bring victory. You let me lead you. And every time Israel was led by God, as we were going to read through in the rest of Joshua, they won when they went on their own. When they went ahead of the Lord, they lost. So right now he's saying, I'm the miracle worker. God has the power. You guys.